Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for being in our midst. And bless us to minister all that's in your heart. Help us to go forward in you this whole day, everyone that ministers. And bless Pastor as he goes forth. Lord, I thank you for this move of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
We're still in John chapter 16. We made it to verse 20. We'll pick up there and hear what God is saying. In verse 20 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." This is because he's going to die for them. And they still don't fully comprehend why he's dying for them yet. And then he explains, to give them hope, he explains verse 21. "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know therefore, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." That's what's coming. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask me, ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." I'm going to go down to verse 25. Verse 24, "Hitherfore have ye asked me nothing in my name, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." This section of scripture shows us many things, and it shows us how the world will rejoice when he is gone, and they will be sad. Then he'll come back, and they'll rejoice. And they'll, verse 22 shows us, you know, it's a clue that we have authority. Well, verse 23, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." This is a day when they'll have authority. And they'll operate like he did. And they'll speak the word at their will. In Jesus' name, and it'll come to pass. Like we enjoy. Now, they didn't know all these things yet. Down in verse 25, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. But I shall show you plainly of the Father." When I saw that scripture, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, what's the difference between speaking to somebody in Proverbs and speaking parables?" and so with Proverbs, you're teaching people that want to know. You're giving them knowledge at the level that they can receive it. Because they would have had to have more revelation to understand that they're going to have authority. And the need for Jesus to come, they would have had to know the scriptures, and they didn't know them yet. So he spoke to them in Proverbs, which were clues to the truth that's going to be. And then he spoke parables to those that were reluctant to receive the heart of God's will in the first place. He's given them a chance, but he know for a fact that they're reluctant. And they don't want God, so he speaks parables to them. A parable is an illustration of truth to give people a chance. And a proverb is teaching people at the level that they could receive. It's almost the same thing, but it's a difference. And he spoke a proverb to show them what's coming at their level of reception. And the parable is spoken to people who don't want to know, but it gives them a chance to repent. And they can see, you know, they'll have something to go on to get out of the trouble that they're already in. So And he didn't, you know, I never saw where Jesus volunteered a parable. I never saw him volunteer an interpretation of a parable. They all, if he explained it, they asked him for it. They wanted to know. Then he showed it to them. And also, he expected them to know it. Because when they asked him about the parable, he said, if you don't know this parable, how will you know all parables? He expected them to know it. But when they asked, he gave them the interpretation of it. And but there were many who probably understood it but didn't want it. So we're dealing with, as we follow God, one thing that we're going to be doing, we'll be doing what he does. It came to me this way the other day, that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit. As we receive the word of God on the inside, and we receive it and partake of it, we become a two-edged sword that divides the soul and the spirit. Our advice, our way of life, we walk in greater light, and the light of God's word does exactly what the word of God does, which God does the same thing that his word does. And the Holy Spirit does what his word does. And Jesus does what the word, and he is the word. Everything about the Lord, as we partake of his word, we do exactly what he does. We rejoice in what he rejoices in, and we frown on what he frowns upon. And the world has to deal with it. We give them a living example. But the problem comes in when people try to hide the light. You can't, and you shouldn't. But when people try to do that, they cause a bigger problem trying to hide the light. You are the light. And from the time a person gets saved, a change is made, a noticeable change has been made in their character and their way of doing things. Even if they don't go out preaching, they're endeavoring to do right in the sight of the world. And people will try to, they want to examine that. They'll sometimes try to frustrate you to see if you're sincere. And me and Alicia passed by that Ford dealership I used to work at. And I said, that's the spot I was standing in when I almost got in a fight with that guy. In that moment, I realized, I said, I believe he picked that fight to see where I stood. Because me and him, you know, we were pretty good friends, but he was an older guy, and he probably never seen somebody walking in the Lord and dedicated like that. And I think he needed me to see where I stood, and the Lord helped me stand, which I thank God for the whole thing now because of what I learned because of it. I learned to love people. When I saw that the Lord helped me love him at my weakest point, I said, Lord, teach me more about that. And then he started teaching me how to love. And that's when the revelation came. But in the world, you will be persecuted sometimes because people are curious. And sometimes because people are mean. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, they watch you. Don't think for a second. When you're endeavoring to do God's will, they watch you like a hawk. When you're looking at them, they may look away. When you turn your head, they turn their head. They're looking. They watch everything you do. So, as we receive the word of God, we will operate just like the word of God. The word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, and we become a sharp two-edged sword. The advice you give is a sharp two-edged sword. Everything about the word, that's what God is guiding us to. And in Hosea chapter 6, as we get to know him, well, I'll say that for the next, we'll visit. Well, I guess it won't hurt. Hosea chapter 6. Yeah. All roads lead to Revelation.
I thought you said Hosea.
I was just using it for a joke. But Hosea 6.
Is it Hosea or Isaiah?
Hosea.
Mm-hmm.
This is also talking about what Jesus is saying here. It said, come and let us return unto the Lord, verse 1. For he has torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Watch verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now this is a powerful set of scriptures. Verse 3 said, if we follow on to know the Lord, he's showing us that we're going to get a chance to know him.
Amen.
And he's talking about Jesus Christ. We were broken, and he healed us. He bound up our wounds. Healed our body, and then he raised up. When he raised up, we raised up. We believe on him, we become like him. And then it says, and we shall know. And if we follow on to know the Lord, sometimes people get saved and that's where they live, that's where they stop. But you have a living chance to follow on to know him. And when we know him, that's going to make all the difference. There's a lot about the Lord to know, and as we learn him, we're going to do exactly what he does, with the same courage, with the same determination. Everything grows as we grow. Your dedication gets stronger. Your determination gets stronger. Your courage gets stronger. You find yourself in similar situations doing powerful things. Where you would have fallen, you stand. And he's there to back you up. So he's encouraging them that he's got to leave, but he's showing them good things that's going to happen from it. And their mind is still unclear. But when it all happens, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it all back to them just like he did. And they're going to preach boldly when it's sold. So we'll pick up at verse 25, with verse 26 next week.
Can I follow in on something I just saw when you read that? The John.
Uh-huh.
Hitherto, this is concerning prayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or being speaking spirit.
Yeah.
Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will see that your joy may be full.
Mm-hmm.
I've read many book on prayer. Of course, this is the main book. I have never seen anybody commentate. One of the main reasons for prayer is answered prayer that your joy may be full.
Yeah.
Isn't that fantastic?
Uh-huh, it is.
Has anybody ever read that? I'm sure somebody wrote it, but I've never read it.
Yeah.
And that just touched me.
Yeah.
God, prayer is not, which it is at times, but it's there to ask that you will receive that your joy may be full.
Yeah.
So that's something thankful you can say in a prayer as you pray. Thank you, Lord, you're answering my prayer because you want my joy to be full.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
And that gives me strength.
Mm-hmm.
To go on and do your will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. And he wants your joy to be full.
Amen.
With that, following God is the key.
Yes, it is.
Because some things can't happen unless you fulfill a course. But he as you follow him, there's some things that happen, and then the Lord showed me things I've been praying for a long time are about to happen. But what he had me to do had to happen first.
Yes, that's good.
So he has an order. You know, he does things by order. So follow him. Enjoy him. On the radio I said, don't worry about ministry. Just get to know him. Love him. And the ministry, it'll work.
Amen.
He'll give you something simple to do, and you'll do it, and it'll just make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
okay, 1 Corinthians, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He wanted them to remember not just him, but all the things that he taught him. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, I thank you for all the wonderful things you guide us to. Help us remember things that you've said, visions, dreams, things that you've blessed us with along the way, whom we need the most. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.